Over the weekend, though, there was some sports that were going on. Plenty broadcast on WSGW, including the game that was broadcast on WSGW over the weekend. No, I'm not talking about the impressive Detroit Tigers shutout victory over Tampa Bay yesterday. No, not talking about Michigan's impressive victory.
Runaway.
against Northern Illinois. I mean, doing what the Wolverines were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Against Northern Illinois. I mean, that was... I am talking about Saturday night's SVSU game at Ferris State.
Yeah, went to overtime, eh?
Went to overtime. Nearly 4 hours of football before SVSU fell 47-45. Ferris State, the number two ranked team in the nation in D2. I can't begin to tell you as I was listening to this game just how every time that J.J. Bame was calling the action, something different was going on. A game that had SVSU having to score on the final play to force overtime. Mm-hmm. It was an 8-play drive of 63 yards and 44 seconds to force the overtime. SVSU had a pick six, had a blocked extra point return for 2 points, forced seven turnovers, and they still fell short. In large part because it was tough for SVSU maintaining an offense. The turnovers helped their offense, but for example, they were only 3 for 17 on third downs. I mean, they gave Ferris State everything they. And the only reason that Ferris State won that game in overtime and didn't extend to two overtimes is, unfortunately, Ferris State, when they scored the touchdown in overtime and they had the ball first, and they went to kick the extra point and they missed it, but there was a roughing the kicker call, which moved the ball close to the goal line. Mm-hmm. Ferris State said enough of this because their kicking game was suspect all night.
So they went for it.
They went for two and converted it. So when SVSU scored an overtime touchdown, SVSU had to go for two to tie the game, and that's where they fell short.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was just, I mean, nearly 4 hours.
To play that tough against a number two team, I mean, that's it was, pretty impressive.
Yeah, very impressive.
It really was. It was just crazy. We'll talk to JG on Friday morning, and I don't know how he's going to even encapsulate.
Yeah, I don't know how you do. Yeah, right.
Quite a game.
It really was. It was the game. It was so we're proud to be an SVSU football broadcasting station. We have the games for you, and Saturday night, if you were listening, from 7 to 11 p.m., it was quite an evening of football for you to enjoy here on WSGW 100.5, specifically on that frequency. But be that as it may, we should take a moment and recognize what the Wolverines did. Rolling over Northern Illinois, completing an undefeated non-conference season.
Yes.
Yeah. Of 3-0, and now preparing for the Big Ten season to begin this weekend.
Well, I listened until halftime, and they were just so far ahead that I thought, well, maybe I better check out and see what State's doing. So I went to the State game for once.
Well, both teams playing great at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's not gloss over that. I mean, I'm not sure anyone expected what was going on in East Lansing up to this point.
No, not at all. No, I didn't see it coming, and I'm telling you, I read a lot of experts in the preseason, and nobody had Michigan State doing this well. And maybe it's because there was the unknown factor of some of these transfers that they got during the offseason, and nobody knew how good these players were, if they would mix well with Mel Tucker and his philosophy. And hey, guess what? So far, it seems like they are.
It's clicking.
Yes.
Now, taking down Miami of Florida, that was no small feat.
No.
Not at all.
No. No. So now, all of a sudden, that Michigan State game.
It might have a little new meaning.
It might. It just might. It might, because both teams are just playing so well. It's almost like they have just completely reversed what they were doing last year. They're just a complete turnaround for both programs.
Again, it was Northern Illinois. I don't want to belittle the opponent, but Michigan was supposed to do what they did.
Right. And how many times has, in the last decade or so, has Michigan sometimes played down to their competition and they've struggled? And when you see them struggle against teams like Northern Illinois, like, oh, no, is this something that's just going to get worse. I like that Michigan has an identity. I think it's pretty cool that they're going to play smash mouth football, That's how they're going to do it.
Yeah, they have a pretty big offensive line too. Illinois is a little downsized compared to Michigan.
Yes, absolutely.
And when's the last time I can remember Michigan having a running attack this potent?
Yeah.
All around.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. And two really good running backs, and three too. They have a younger player too, who's a freshman and who's also going to be a good running back. So I don't know. I like the way I think they figured this out in the offseason, saying our passing game is not going to be the best. Let's at least do one thing well, and then maybe the other stuff can fall into place.
Yeah, it was fun to hear on Saturday, and we hope you enjoyed it too, our broadcast of Michigan football. And I don't want to gloss over our Detroit Tigers, man, against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I know. They gave Tampa fits this month here.
They really did. I mean, we're talking a quality team, playoff team, and the shutout yesterday. Willie Peralta.
Yeah, I know. Who knew?
Where would we be without Willie Peralta?
That's very true.
He's pitched very well, and he's also eaten up innings, too.
Which they need.
Which is what really the Tigers have needed.
Yeah.
Sad to hear about Soto and Hill's season's coming to an end because of injuries over the weekend.
But they'll be back.
Yeah. More disturbing news, we're trying to figure out what's going on with Matthew Boyd, who apparently saw a doctor in Dallas last week because of his sore arm. And now either today or tomorrow he's supposed to be in LA to see another doctor.
Maybe
you're getting your second opinion.
But no reasonings why, just sore arm that just won't go away.
Don't like hearing that.
No, not at all.
Especially Tiger fans, as we've had to deal with players with sore arms such as Michael Fulmer, and who is back, who's doing well, but I mean, didn't have him for 18 months with Tommy John surgery. Spencer Turnbull, who got the no-hitter earlier this year, and then, what was it, a month later, right?
He's done.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be out for at least 18 months. Just hoping that's not the same here for Matthew Boyd.
No.
I think the best part I saw in that Tiger game yesterday was where the other team had players on first and third, and there were two outs. And we had made a pitching change, and the pitcher came in and just threw like three wild balls all over the place. And then I thought, oh, no, this isn't going to end well, with a score being 2-0, and could have gone, one long ball and have had a couple of runs scored. And then the catcher throws this guy out at second base trying to steal.
Yeah.
What an arm. And right on the spot.
Yeah, Grinnell.
That was a strange sequence for sure.
It was.
And you're right, Dave. It didn't give you. He's like, oh my gosh.
I thought they're going to throw this away. Why did he make that pitching change? The previous pitcher was doing fine.
Well, we hope you enjoyed some good sports weekend fun that was going on with a lot of broadcasting here on WSGW. And
by the way, that Michigan State game is October 30th. Day before Halloween.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, we still got a whole month to go.
Oh, yeah, still a while to go.